Blog Talk Radio.
Oh heavens, we need to know. Oh, come on in to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
Daddy Dave Binkley from the Weirdest Really Bad Movie.
Daddy Dave, Betty Binkley.
Daddy Binkley would have been the nicest thing people said about me in school.
Yes. Well, and before we get into bats too deep, though, Dave, want to once again apologize to our listeners, those of you who regularly like to chat, but the chat is down once again. Thanks a lot. Blog Talk.
Ooh, Blog Talk. Okay. I feel better now.
Yes.
We're still a little batty today, Dale, with a fun for CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, and some chit chat about bats. We're gonna have some bat facts, Dave facts later, and maybe talk about some movies where bats played a huge role. Or perhaps certain scenes that come to mind from films or television. But as usual, not as usual, but as we do often here, a perfect format for Saturday nights, it's CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes. Just a second. Let me scroll up to the top here. With 1,399 episodes, they had something on just about everything, and they even had an episode here on a ghost gray bat. So, an interesting story this is too, Dale. I mean, a lot of times I go through the different comments that people have left over the years of this website here, and like my Row of Roses, which is really one of my favorites and was certainly the first Mystery Theater I heard, and the thing that sold me on Mystery Theater, and this tremendous, horrific story. And yet a lot of people really didn't like it. I don't know why, but they really didn't like it. I'm looking through here through the different comments, and there is not one that isn't, you know, they're talking about here, Ghost Great Bat is my favorite. It's my favorite one. Best program of all the programs. The is a great episode, definitely the best. I love this one. This is my favorite. It's the scariest. Interesting comment here says, in my honest opinion, this is one of the scariest, if not three, the scariest shows they ever did. I'll skip over a couple of spoilers there. This says, I love this episode. Back in the day, I had it on tape and I listened to it over and over and over. I dragged my mother and grandmother into the bedroom to listen to it. They got hooked on it. Listen to this one with the lights off with a friend and be prepared to have nightmares. Awesome story.
Oh, you're in for a treat tonight, folks. This is not just one or two people. This is a whole list of folks claiming that this is their favorite episode. So
yeah,
I already like
yes.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It has such a great introduction, nothing like a squeaky door. They stole the idea.
And you know, before we came before I logged on here, Dale, to be on here tonight, I was watching that Tomorrow Show clip with E.G. Marshall and Hyman Brown and the cast doing an abbreviated version of one of the Mystery Theaters as a promotion when it first came out. It's just such a wonderful little piece of television by televising radio.
And that's what we're doing.
That's what, you know, I once talked about with some of my cast members about doing radio. I had one person, well, why would you want to film? I said, I'd love to do one and film it. And then put it together, you know, as a video presentation as well, where, you know, with a multi-camera and then go ahead and put it together as a video presentation as well as the audio presentation. And he said, well, why would you do it? Why would people want to watch a radio program? He said, are you kidding? Prairie Home Companion, before it left the air for a while and then it came back. It not only was being shown on some PBS while they were doing it, but also on the Disney Channel. And I know that when the Sci-Fi Channel was doing Leonard Nimoy's Alien Voices, they did some abbreviated, like, one-hour versions of some of the stories they were doing with John DeLance and Leonard Nimoy. Even William Shatner came out to be in one of them. And they had the live sound effects, you know, the Foley artists, as well as a live band there. And they did this. Yes, people tune in to watch people do radio.
It's fun to watch, folks. If you've never seen a Foley artist at work making these incredible sounds for these radio programs, it is a treat to watch one of these.
It truly is. I of course, having the love for radio that I do, you kind of expect it from me. But watching it is, to me, is just as fascinating as listening to it. There's something magical about the art of radio. I don't know what it is, but to me, there is.
Well, it's a fun medium, and it's something we don't want to see lost. That's part of why we share these. The part is because it's damn fun.
And as you said so many times, we have so many shows to pull from, and so many things. Again, it's quoting you. Tell about, you know, how the horror hosts only have so many movies to go through. But I love when you give that explanation of what we do here.
Well, it's very simple, Dave. You know, and God bless all the horror hosts who are doing what they're doing. You know, and each of them doing it differently. But there is a finite number of anything, I suppose. But there's a very limited number. If you're playing by the rules and showing nothing but public domain, there's only maybe 100 movies if you mix up all the genres, maybe 150. If you dip into silent, maybe a few more. But there's only so many. Folks, we have thousands of these radio shows we're going to share with you, God willing.
Yeah, you got to be careful saying that because creek's rising around here, so you got to be careful. You know.
Well, and they're not, you know, the vast majority of items that fall in the public domain, if you don't count the silent films, were low budget, by and large. And the quality is somewhat suspect. And these radio shows, you've got folks like Lugosi and Karloff who aren't, you know, I don't know if you'd call them A-listers. Maybe they were for a while, you know, during the 30s with Universal, but they weren't like A-listers. We get huge, huge stars on some of these shows, don't we, Dave?
Oh, yeah. And some of the suspenses we haven't gotten near yet. You know, you've got the top names in Hollywood. You get Cary Grant and Ray Milland and so many of the people that were at one time top of the list of the, you know, Judy Garland, they're all there. Not many people who did movies back then, it didn't come to radio upon occasion, at least to one of these programs that redid their movie, and they were invited to come back and redo that particular movie for the radio audience, as William Powell and Myrna Loy did with two of their Thin Man movies.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Powell did, outside of recreating some of his roles, I don't think William Powell did a lot of individual radio. But he did come to recreate his roles for some of the movies that he did.
Yep, and our regular listeners do know that we've shown some of these movies, movie adaptation or radio adaptations of movies, in the Eerie House Radio Drive-In. That'll be coming up again this year. Surprisingly, on radio, you don't see, or there's just not a lot of Lon Chaney Jr. Dave and I talked about this. We might as well spring it, Dave. In a few weeks, maybe about a month or so, we're going to be paying homage to Lon Chaney Jr. And we're digging up some special treats for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be a heck of a time. And it surprises me that he didn't do this. But you know what? As much problem as he had, and as lowbrow as some people kind of grade him, that man, I don't think, was ever out of work. You know, because he started off not being in horror, then did horror, then ended up doing westerns and a little bit of comedy. And the man is, again, is not as respected until you look at his body of work. It is just absolutely amazing. And when we pay homage to him coming up here not too long from now, we can talk about so much of that stuff that he was on and that he's done.
And even he played a bat as son of Dracula. And, of course, we've got bats for you tonight. E.G. Marshall, just a wonderful voice introducing these CBS Radio Mystery Theater shows.
Absolutely. Just that creaking door and the music from the episode 2 from Twilight Zone became property of CBS when Rod Serling sold out his half of the Twilight Zone to CBS. And I don't know that Twilight Zone in one form or another has ever been off the air since it was off the air. Because CBS has syndicated the heck out of that thing, and cable channels that buy it up and eat it up and things like that, that I don't know that it's
been
off the
stories,
air.
Though.
They're great morality plays. Something that we don't really get much of today.
No, we don't. And Rod was great at writing them and presenting them on Twilight Zone. And
absolutely.
They're sometimes very scary, just like tonight's show. This is, as some listeners have claimed, the scariest story that was put out there by a CBS Radio Mystery Theater out of thousands of shows. This is the only pick. Is there a broadcast date for this, Dave?
We did. Do we want to get into or save it? Sort of a Bat Facts, Dave Facts.
For part one, yes. Let's have some Bat Facts, Dave Facts.
Yeah, we can give the date first, episode number 1176. And this was first aired March 25th, 1981. So, the next year, this series went off the air. So, 1,000, episode 1176. So, here's our first set of Bat Facts, Dave Facts. Here we go. Bat Fact: bats have been known to carry rabies. Dave Fact: very large rabies have been known to carry bats. Bat Fact: bats can fly and hunt by echolocation. Dave Fact: big deal. In my college days, that's how Dave got home every night after a stop at the townhouse. Bat Fact: the oldest living bat was 41 and found in Serbia. Dave Fact: the oldest bat is only 41? Has anyone told Batman about this? Bat Fact: vampire bats feed entirely on the blood freshly drawn from its prey. Dave Fact: in human terms, this is known as being a lawyer. Okay. Cut one.
Bat Fact, Dave Fact.
You be the judge.
You be the judge, jury, and execution. No, I mean...
No! Hey, everybody, you're gonna enjoy this mystery theater tonight. It is... do I think it's one of the scariest? I've got some others I would rate a little scarier. But you turn your lights out now and listen to this story. It's a scary story. I call it the scariest Nah, I wouldn't, but it's a but it is a darn good story and very well presented, as they do here on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Marshall. Ever read this sort of advertisement in the real estate section of the newspaper or their personal columns of a magazine? Young Austrian couple, no children, no pets, would like to exchange their gemütlich Alpine chalet for New York apartment 2 to 3 months. Please write, etc., etc., etc. If you had read that, would you be tempted to try it? Don't. It could work out nicely, but then again...
I don't know, Moira. I think something flew into the room.
Something? What?
A bird. Like a huge gray owl.
We shouldn't have left the window open.
I'm glad we did. It flew right out. Again.
Our mystery drama was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Don Scardino and Jennifer Harmon. I'll be back shortly with Act One. The advertisement I began to read to you was the actual one that Alec and Maura Grant answered. Maura was interested because Alec was exhausted from overwork, and she felt he needed a long vacation. Alec, because they had recently been married, and so far had been denied a honeymoon. Outside of these two small concerns, they had nothing in the world to worry them. They were blissfully happy. The gods were good to them. How fortunate. Except it was Byron who said, "Whom the gods love, die young."
Professor Grant.
You don't have to be formal. It's just me.
Oh, who's me?
Your wife.
Oh, that's...
Darling, the most marvelous thing just happened. It came.
Oh, that's nice. What came?
A letter from Frau Gottschalk in Austria. She's charming. There's a picture of her and her husband, and they look like dear people, and the house is a dream, and they want to exchange. Only they don't own a car. But couldn't we just rent one there and...
Hey, honey, slow down, will you?
Home.
I'm just finishing up. I had to empty the drawers and get all this junk out of poor Murray's way.
Well, you're only going to be away from the university for a year. It's still your office.
Not while I'm on sabbatical leave. But it's all done. I should be home within the hour.
Oh, hurry, darling. I'm just bursting with all the news about Austria.
I'm Dr. Alec Grant, and my sabbatical leave began at the beginning of the summer. I hold a full chair in philosophy at Gotham University, and my intention was to spend my sabbatical year finishing a book. When Murray Sprague got in a bind and asked me to take over a summer course he was teaching in comparative theology, I would have turned him down, except that it was he who was covering my courses while I was on leave. It was a stroke of luck that I said I would. First, because during the course, I learned more than I wanted to know about demonology, but mainly because I met Moira and we got married.
There's only one hitch, Alec, provided you think the house sounds right.
Moira, it sounds too good to be true. I mean, right on its own lake, isolated, but only 10 miles by road from Wintersbad, ski trails everywhere, and enough peace and quiet for me to finish my book. So what's the hitch?
We won't be alone.
I knew it was too good to be true. What are we stuck with? An ancient dachshund?
Oh, no. Just a housekeeper. But we don't have to pay for her.
That's bad?
I think it's good.
What's she like?
She's sort of an old family retainer, but Gretel says she cooks like an angel and disappears right after dinner every night, and you never hear from her till you're ready for breakfast in the morning.
Gretel?
That's Frau Gottschalk's name. Her husband is Hans.
Oh, isn't it too much? Hansel and Gretel in this divine gingerbread house waiting for us?
Plus a built-in witch.
Oh, now that's unfair to Frau Zauber. Gretel says she's a dear old thing and will take care of us like we were her own children.
I don't need anyone to take care of me but you.
Oh, and you know how totally I want to possess you, surround you, make you all my own.
Well, you don't have to try. You got me.
So we are off for the Austrian Tyrol?
Well, aren't there arrangements to be made? How do you know they'll like this old dump of ours? Mine.
That's all settled. I've described it and sent pictures.
When do they plan to arrive?
A week from Saturday, the morning of the day we leave.
Uh-huh.
We'll have a whole day to show them everything and help them get settled.
Well, I hope they don't miss their plane.
Oh, stop trying to put the hex on all this, Alex. Anyway, your child bride was smart enough to cover that.
Hmm? How?
Well, if by any chance things get crossed up and they don't arrive before we leave, Betty Sprague has the keys and she'll settle them in.
And they know about that?
Of course.
I mean, you've heard from them since you wrote them?
Natch, worrywart.
I don't mean to sound that way. It's just that, well, why didn't we just get them on the phone and work out all the last-minute details?
Well, that's the one thing I didn't mention. They don't have a phone.
They don't?
Well, who needs it? We can shut out the rest of the world. Oh, isn't it heaven?
Well, as long as I share it with you. The idea of being that isolated was heaven to me. I couldn't put my finger on what niggling little thought kept sputtering in my brain like a loose electrical connection. And in the face of Moira's enthusiasm and shining expectation of our projected trip, I didn't have the heart to allow anything to spoil it. I never dreamed my random hunch would turn out to be true.
Hello? Yes? This is Mrs. Grant.
Is that the Gottschalks?
What? A cablegram from Frankfurt, Germany? Right. No, please, read it to me. If you got a pencil, darling.
Right here.
That's correct. Just read the message. Missed connections here. We arrive New York a day late. Sorry we will miss you, but please not to delay your departure. Frau Zauber expects you. We will contact your Mrs. Sprague, and all will be well. Auf Wiedersehen, Hans and Gretel Gottschalk. Yes, thank you, operator. I have it. No, a copy will not be necessary.
They missed the plane?
Or maybe you ought to take up fortune-telling.
I'm sorry, darling.
Oh, I didn't mean to bite at you. I'm just disappointed. I would have liked to have met them.
Well, do you want to cancel our flight?
Are you kidding? That's a special excursion deal that saves us a fortune. Besides, we have to pick up our car in Munich. We don't want anything to go wrong with that.
Okay. And we'll let Betty Sprague handle our German cousins.
Austrian.
Oh, my apologies to the Grand Duke or whoever.
I think it's the Chancellor. Anyway, we're going on a honeymoon in Austria, darling, and we're going to love every minute of it.
It's so easy to be prophetic in hindsight, but some chill tremor, even then, closed around my shoulders like a shawl. I shrugged it off because Moira was sizzling with delighted anticipation. The plane flight across the Atlantic was uneventful, except for Moira's constant happy chatter about the new life we were headed for. By the time we got to Munich, she had me decked out in rose-colored glasses, too. And all my doubts had evaporated. We picked up the car at Munich in the early morning, and by shortly after lunch, we found ourselves arriving at the end of our journey.
Oh, it's all so green and so beautiful. It's like driving on the floor of a still green lake.
It's breathtakingly lovely. An enchanted forest. Oh, but doesn't it ever end?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Up ahead. See?
Oh, that's the lake. And the trees are starting to thin.
Oh, there it is, Alec. Oh, it
is. It is a gingerbread cottage.
Well, it's a bit larger than a cottage, but it's a real Hansel and Gretel house, all right. With a witch waiting for us, broom in hand.
Don't stop it, Alec. She looks like a dear little old lady.
Willkommen in Schlusswehrhaus. Ich bin Frau Zauber.
Wir sind Herr und Frau Grant, aber wir haben keine deutsche Sprache.
Ach so, it is no matter. I have English pretty good. Have you come with a nice trip?
Oh, yes. The countryside is gorgeous.
Oh, from Munich? You are arriving?
Yes. We flew in this morning and drove straight here.
Oh, I have been waiting, though. With a broom, I sweep the doorstep again and again so you will see the house at its best. But you must be tired. Come and see, bitte. I show you your house of dreams.
We entered the chalet, our shadows streaming before us from the sun at our backs. Something revived that vague, uneasy feeling I had forgotten during our journey. But the tour of the house was too fascinating to allow me to dwell on it. I might never have thought of it again if it hadn't been for what happened that night. What's this?
Alec!
Hey, what
is it, darling?
Nothing. We shouldn't have left the window so wide open. I think something flew in here.
Something? What?
Oh, a bird. A sort of gray owl. Oh, don't worry. It flew right out again.
Where are you going?
I just want to have a look-see. Sounds like a storm brewing. I think I ought to close the windows.
Oh, yes. It's gotten cold. Oh, hurry back to bed. Come on, darling. Close them.
Huh? Oh, yes. Right. Oh, oh. Here I come.
Oh, you have cold feet.
Yeah. Warm heart.
Oh, don't I know it. Oh, Alec, I love it here. The house is a dream, and I've never been so happy. I love you. Good night.
And I love you. Good night. She was back to sleep in a second, like a child. I wasn't so lucky. Was it only a wind-driven puff of gray cloud I had just seen crossing the moon? Or could it have been what it seemed to be? A monstrous ghost gray bat. I put it out of my mind. What nonsense. And then I remembered what it was I had forgotten when we entered this dream house. Three of us, the sun behind us, our shadows dancing before us. But it didn't seem to me there were three shadows, only two.
This doesn't appear the pleasant little story it started out to be, does it? Of course, Alec has been working very hard, and he seems prey to strange premonitions, perhaps even delusions. Maybe with morning they will all have passed away, except I wouldn't count on it.
No, I wouldn't count on it either. There's trouble afoot, and I like it.
Yep. Interesting story going on here, written by Scotsman Ian Martin, who also, not only did he write 243 episodes, he appeared in 255 episodes of the Mystery Theater. And he, I'm trying to think, I'm not thinking that he actually appeared in this one. Of the cast that did appear in this one, Don Scardino, who is the lead actor on this one, was in 26 episodes. Jennifer Harmon, who played his new young wife there, was in 21 episodes. Joan Shea, who was the voice of the Joyman person there, she was had 109 episodes, and Robert Dryden, coming up later in this episode, 304 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So and Robert Dryden, of course, tons of old radio program, especially in the 50s, for the golden age of radio as well.
That's what we like to say around here, a whole lot of radio.
A whole lot of radio. Absolutely. So, yes, we are now out there in, was it Austria or something like that? In the good old Hansel and Gretel type house in the woods. And a lot of good didn't come from that, especially if you look at the original Brothers Grimm story. But
yeah. We'll have to do a show about that someday, Dave. Those stories were pretty dark. They were really
dark. Yeah. I did want to mention, hey, Dale had a brilliant idea, of course. And he opened up a Facebook chat where he's got Annie and Foggs in there. Evil Annie and Foggs. Hey, Foggs. And if you want to get included, contact during the show here, contact Dale at Dale K in his Facebook account, and he could log you in here to that group as well. And we can kind of have our own little personal chat. No thanks to Blog Talk. We can still do this.
That's right. We're not going to let Blog Talk run us over. we'll run ourselves over.
Yeah. That's right. Just hopefully not with a lawnmower. Yeah.
But on the lighter side, we need some more Dave Facts. Bat Facts Dave Facts.
Oh, we have another Bat Fact Dave Fact. We do. Bat Fact. Bats are always cleaning themselves. They even clean behind their ears. Dave Fact. But the question remains, do they wash their hands when they leave a restaurant restroom? Bat Fact. The earliest known megabats lived 35 million years ago. Dave Fact. This coincides with the birth date of my ex-mother-in-law. Coincidence? I think not. Bat Fact. More bats die from white nose syndrome than they do from predators. Dave Fact. More coworkers die from brown nose syndrome than from working hard. Bat Fact. Each night, bats can eat more than their body weight in insects, numbering in the thousands. Dave Fact. Big deal. You ought to try and follow Dave in the buffet line. There you go. One more set to go, guys, and you're finally off the hook. So, you know.
Bat Facts, Dave Facts.
That's true.
And with that, we'll go. Now that we've had our nervous laughter, it's back to a nervous story. This is pretty intense. There's part two of the Ghost Gray Bat.
An ancient legend has it that those who became proficient in the black arts were chased by the devil himself through subterranean halls. If he caught only their shadow, they became first-rate magicians or witches, but lost their shadows forever. The question here so far is twofold. Is there a shadow missing at all? And if there is, whose is it? Maura? Frau Zauber? Or Alec himself? Well, it's the following day. Let's see if that question is resolved.
Would you like already some more coffee, Herr Grant?
No, thanks.
Frau Grant?
No. But it was wonderful, Frau Zauber. So was breakfast. And dinner last night was superb.
Danke schön. It makes me very happy you like it. So, I clear away everything.
Thank you so much, Frau Zauber, for making us feel so much at home.
Zauber, it is your home while you are here. I go make you a picnic lunch. Don't worry, the mist will burn off, and it will still be a beautiful day.
Oh, isn't she an angel?
Yes. What's this about a picnic lunch,
Mark? Well, it was Frau Zauber's idea. She thought we might like to spend the day exploring.
She's told me about a wonderful spot which will give us a view of the whole lake. Oh, doesn't it sound like fun?
I don't know.
What's the matter, darling?
I was just wondering about the Gottschalks. I didn't realize how much I'd miss a phone. I would like to have run down to Wintersbad and given them a ring to see if everything was all right.
Darling, you're forgetting the time difference. It's still the middle of last night at home.
Oh, that's right.
Excuse me, please.
Oh, I didn't hear you, Frau Zauber.
You were talking. I didn't want to interrupt. I have here the picnic, all in the basket. You want it now?
Oh, well, not quite yet. I want to get dressed. I won't be long, Alec. Oh, Frau Zauberg, you're so kind. You're making us very happy.
But of course I must. You are very, I don't know how to say, precious to me.
Frau Zauberg, do you have any bats around here?
Bats?
Fledermaus.
Oh, that's Fledermaus. Oh, nein, no bats. Nothing like that in this place. Why do you ask?
Well, we were disturbed last night. We had the window wide open, and I woke up thinking a bird was in the room. When I went to close the window, I saw something like a great gray bat flying across the moon.
Oh, and the Liebchen? She saw this too?
Oh, no. Fortunately, Moira was asleep. I didn't tell her what I thought I saw. I didn't want to upset her.
Oh, very wise, mein Herr. This holiday means so much to her. You must not disturb her. Oh, yourself?
Here I am. Ready to go, Alec?
Ready, willing, and champing at the bit.
Then let's get the picnic started.
It was everything a picnic ought to be. We ate in a meadow floating above the Emerald Lake. The food was sublime, and walking home over the pine needles, we were both floating on a cloud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a day this has been.
I think you're a little high, my pet.
I am. On clear air and the scent of pine and the quiet. Oh, the lovely quiet.
And a bottle of sparkling Rhine wine.
Well, I only finished it because you were being such a teetotaler.
It was making me sleepy. My arm was about her waist, her head on my shoulder. I was tired myself and full of sun and fresh pine-scented wind and peace as heavy as a drug. We floated down the hills back to the chalet to find Frau Zauber waiting for us, fussing over us like children.
Ah, you are both so tired. Oh, I am a foolish old woman to send you so far on your first day.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just, oh, so sleepy. I've got to have a nap before dinner.
I go up right away and turn down the bed. You will join her also, Hergrant?
No, I'm not that sleepy. I'll see Moira upstairs. Perhaps you'll make a cup of coffee for me?
Yeah, but...
Oh, you don't have to come up, Alec.
Well, I want to see you tucked in. I'll be right down, Frau Zauber. Thanks for the coffee, Frau Zauber.
Max sneaked.
I needed it. Oh, I'm quite sleepy myself.
You should be resting with the little one.
Nope. This is a good chance to make a quick trip to town and make that phone call.
Why don't you wait till tomorrow?
It's only 10 miles, 15, 16 kilometers to Wintersbad. I'll be back within the hour.
Oh, I think maybe you should not drive. You look very tired.
I'd like to set my mind at rest. You just keep your eye on...
Oh, was it lost, mein Herr? Something wrong?
Oh, no, not a thing in the world. Just a flat tire. Wait a minute. Both front tires are flat. I'll be damned.
Oh, is it something bad?
It's not good, Frau Zauber. Until those tires are fixed. One I could handle, but two... Is there a mechanic near here?
In Wintersbad, yeah.
That's great. How do I get in touch with him without a phone?
Oh, Fritz comes with the milk. I could tell him to let the garage know.
When's that? Tomorrow morning?
Nine. Tomorrow's Thursday. He'll be here again on Friday.
Oh, no.
Pardon. Not even Friday. It's All Saints Day. It's a holiday. It will not be until Saturday.
I guess that fixes that. Without wheels, I'll just have to use Shank's mare.
Excuse me?
Walk.
Oh, 15 kilometers?
Well, not tonight, anyway. I guess my phone call to the Gottschalks can keep. Ooh. Maybe I'll join my wife in that nap.
But supper?
Why don't you leave us some sandwiches?
Yeah. Yeah, I will make a try. On some wine and the coffee all ready to brew. Will there be anything else?
No. If I want you, where will you be?
I sleep in the cellar. It would be too difficult for you to find me.
Well, it doesn't matter. We both probably will sleep until morning. I went to bed with the sun still high on the horizon, never having felt more tired in my life. Moira was dead to the world, and as soon as I pulled the covers over me, so was I. What is it? Moira, what is it?
I thought something was biting my neck.
What? Let me see.
No, it was just a dream. It's nothing. Oh, Alec, I'm so tired. I've got to sleep. Just sleep. It's all right with you here. With you here.
She was asleep again. I turned the light on, but it didn't disturb her. I examined her carefully, and on the right side of her throat, just under the jawline, I saw two marks, side by side, as though they might have been made by a hypodermic. In a sudden panic, I rolled out of bed and shut the windows fast. I came back to Moira. She was breathing as evenly as I was gasping with fright. I went through the house calling for Frau Zauber. I found the door to the cellar and went down into a rabbit warren of halls and compartments with the damp earth under them smelling of decay. All were closed, frozen shut with rusted locks, save one, which gave easily as I thrust against it. I stumbled through, clawing in the dark, down a long, twisting passage, dank and odorous, till suddenly instinct stopped me short. I took out my lighter, thumbing the wheel, and gasped at what the small flicker of its flame revealed. I was on the edge of a vast cave covered with bats. Bats everywhere. Hanging upside down, gazing at me inscrutably, accusingly. The most horrible of all was a huge worm-gray one hanging by the hooks on its wing elbows, its unwinking upside-down eyes driving a dreadful hate through me like nails pinning me against the wall. Then as I raised my lighter, with a sudden powerful swing, it somersaulted upright, and spreading its enormous wings, it launched itself at me with a banshee wail. Thing I remembered was waking out of utter blackness to find myself lying on the bed with Moira shaking me gently.
Alec? Alec?
What? Yes?
What are you doing lying outside the bedclothes?
I must have fallen asleep.
Without getting into bed?
Well, I was up because of whatever bit you. I wanted to close the windows and...
Bit me? What do you mean?
Well, don't you remember? You woke up suddenly, and you thought there was something in the room, and...
Alec, darling, I haven't been awake since I went to bed.
Oh, no, Moira. You... Well, just let me take a look at where...
Oh, what is it?
They're gone. The bite marks are gone.
Oh, Alec, my darling, what's wrong? There never were any bite marks. Nothing bit me. Oh, you must have had a bad dream.
Moira, let's get dressed and get out of this place. Now.
I can't leave now. I'm just beginning to relax. I have to asleep.
You can't, Moira. You've been asleep for over 14 hours. It's morning. The sun is up.
I must sleep.
Why? What is it, darling?
I have to be ready.
Ready for what?
Ready for... for the moment when... for the moment when...
Moira. Moira. You've got to wake up. Oh, heaven help me. What am I going to do? I've got to have a doctor. And I can't leave her alone.
A terrible dilemma for Alec. What strange sickness is drawing the life from his wife's body? He must find help for her. On the other hand, stark and terrible is the memory of that awful cavern peopled by the obscene and monstrous bats. Or were they only a figment of his imagination? Does he need a doctor as desperately as his wife? I shall return shortly with Act 3.
Best Western has friendly places to stay wherever you go, and a full-color road atlas and travel guide to help you get there. Turn into the Best Western near you and pick up your free copy of the Best Western Road Atlas and Travel Guide today. Then let us make your reservations for you.
Right, stay at a Best Western near you.
Yeah, as long as you listen to Nights In, you're okay.
That's right.
Ooh, I've had some scary experiences with Nights In, so I don't know what it is about them, but ooh, just never been a good experience for me. It's kind of neat hearing those commercials from the commercials from the 70s where they got those jingles going on there, you know.
Oh, yeah, it takes you back. And that's, again, part of why we do what we do.
And even saved you a nickel there on that commercial jukebox, Dale.
That's right. You want me to pop one in now?
Well, sure. I think we could use another commercial here.
Why not? It's worth a nickel. Hold on, I got one here. Okay, it's not one of my Buffalo nickels. Here we go.
You boys and girls won't object to Grove's emulsified nose drops. There's nothing unpleasant about them. They don't run out of your nose and make you messy. They don't run down the back of your throat and make you sickish. What's more, they don't burn or sting the inside of your nose. They quickly check a head cold and yet do it in a nice way. These nose drops are something brand new and a big improvement on old-fashioned oil drops. Mother is interested in getting results when you have a cold in the head, and she'll get results much faster with Grove's emulsified nose drops. In every section of the country, Grove's emulsified nose drops are selling at an amazing rate. That's because they are better in every way. Tell Mother to procure a bottle at the corner drugstore. Grove's emulsified nose drops will surprise you with the way they look and act. These nose drops are white and creamy. They don't look, taste, or smell like medicine, yet they are highly effective. That's because they are medically superior, because they stay up in the nose. Any child can understand that nose drops that stay up in the nose will do more good than nose drops that run right out. Impress this fact upon Mother, and she will undoubtedly let you try these new type nose drops when you have a head cold or stuffed head. All drugstores sell Grove's emulsified nose drops, and they're really more economical than the old-fashioned kind because you get more for your money and because you can use less. Ask Mother to get a bottle today.
That's great. Leave your finger and pick Grove's nose drops.
I have to admit, this is the first time we've ever played a commercial that I've never... ever heard of the product before. And I love how he says this isn't like those medicine things. I'm thinking, oh great, this is a snake's oil salesman selling us nose drops.
Yeah, this isn't real medicine. Tut tut tut. We'll have none of that.
None of that. We don't need legal things to know that what a great product we have. Absolutely not.
Delivered to you via covered wagon.
Oh, my.
Fold up our suitcases and get out of here.
That was a hilarious commercial. I love that. Nose drops. Okay. And if you take enough of them, your nose drops right off your face, probably. I don't know.
You may think this product is funny, but it's not.
It's not. No.
That's right.
Oh, we will drop and stoop.
Why I don't like commercials, folks.
We will go to no limit the stoop for this show, I tell you.
That's right.
And speaking of stooping.
I'll never be hired to write commercials.
And speaking of stooping low, we have our last set of Bat Facts Day Facts. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Bat Fact. Bats that feed on frogs can tell the difference between poisonous and non-poisonous frogs by listening to male frogs' calls. Really? Dave Fact, the only thing I ever heard a frog say was Budweiser. Bat Fact. In Bracken Cave, Texas, 20 million Mexican free-tailed bats live. Dave Fact, golly, maybe we really do need to build that wall. Bat Fact. A poll by the Animal Planet Channel stated that bats were the third most feared animal right after wolves and gorillas, but just before piranhas. Dave Fact, however, more people are afraid of asparagus spears than they are of bats. And our very last bat fact, Dave Fact. Bat Fact. How fast a bat flies depends upon the species, but they can reach speeds of over 100 miles an hour. Dave Fact. Dave only moved that fast once, and a divorce lawyer was chasing him. There you have it. Right into file 13 for those bat facts. Dave Facts. If you want a copy, you're a psychiatrist. There you go.
An excellent portion of the show I always look forward to. Things
with some,
Dave Facts.
So with some trepidation, I'm sure.
You never disappoint. What? Never disappoint.
What's he going to say?
But neither does CBS Radio Mystery disappoint. They're really building up the tension here. It's pretty scary.
Yep. Yeah, and he's got a problem. Just think of this, Dale, if you were out there with your wife and you know your wife had to see a doctor, but you were afraid to leave her there. And, of course, if you're going to go get the doctor, you have to do it by yourself and on foot. And her last words were, she has to sleep to prepare.
Let's find out what happens in the dramatic conclusion of CBS Radio Mystery Theater's The Gray, or The Ghost Gray.
If there's anything that makes my blood run cold, it's a bat. Oh, somewhere there may be a bat lovers society who wish to protect the dear little furry things with their two canine teeth as sharp as hypodermic needles. Not me, nor Alec Grant. But which was the greater danger? Mora's strange and unaccustomed lassitude, or those horrendous bats which might live only in his imagination? Only he could make the choice.
I listened to Moira's heart. It was steady, far steadier than my own. Her pulse was strong and normal. She breathed easily. but she was in a profound sleep that was dangerously close to coma. I had to get to a doctor.
Guten Morgen, Herr Grant. Did you sleep well?
No, I didn't, Frau Zauber.
Oh, but why?
I thought you told me there were no bats in this part of the country.
Yeah? Why do you think there are?
Because I believe one bit my wife last night.
Oh, poor Liebchen.
I came down to the cellar after my wife was bitten, looking for you. I called, but you didn't hear.
Oh, I am the very sound sleeper.
Yes, I couldn't find your room, but what I did find was one door that could be opened. What do you think I found behind that door, Frau Zauber?
Oh, I have the trouble with the English. I don't...
I found a long corridor, and at the end of it, a cave full of enormous bats. Bats, Frau Zauber.
Herr Grant, I think you are having eine Busse Traum, a nightmare. But there's nothing like that in the cellar.
I tell you, I saw it.
Then come. You show me.
There it is. That's the door.
Oh, but that's the door to my room. No, I show you.
I couldn't believe my eyes. Beyond the door was not the twisting, shadowed corridor of the night, but a bright, neat bedroom. The walls covered with pictures, the bed neatly made and covered by a handmade counterpane. The furniture, a comfortable armchair, an inlaid chest of drawers, a huge and magnificent armoire.
Herr Grant, you look so shocked.
I am.
Oh, you should have a doctor.
You say there is one in Winterspath?
Yeah, the Herr Dr. König. But how can you get to him?
Well, I can walk.
Oh, no, so far. 15 kilometers.
It should take me less than 3 hours.
I will not let you go.
Why not?
You trust the rheumatism in my old bones. We are to have a storm. When the snow comes, driving with the wind, you could lose your way.
I'll have to take my chances. With any luck, I'll get there before it breaks. Kilometers to the main road were a nightmare of slipping, sliding stone under my feet. And above, the sky was becoming ominously black as the temperature dropped. As I reached the main road, I had a piece of luck. A farmer with a load of feed hay in a cart drawn by a small donkey was passing.
Hey! I mean, Achtung, bitte!
Was werden Sie?
Do you speak English? Sprechen Sie Englisch?
Nein. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Oh, no. I want to go to Wintersbad.
Wintersbad? Ja.
Ich gehen mit eins?
Im Wintersbad?
Ja.
Ja, kommen Sie.
Dankeschön. Ich möchte einen Doktor, Dr. König.
Oh, ja, ja, Herr Dr. König. Zurück. Wir müssen gehen.
I climbed aboard among the sweet-smelling hay. I was shivering and glad to pull its warmth around me. The farmer let me off at the doctor's house. The doctor was out on a house call, but his wife let me in to wait for him. She was also kind enough to let me make a phone call on my credit card.
Hello?
Betty. Betty Sprague?
Alec?
Yes.
Austria?
Yes.
Oh, isn't this lucky? I've been racking my brains trying to get in touch with you.
Oh, why?
Well, those people, your tenants, you know the Gottschalks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been on pins and needles, Alex. They haven't arrived yet. I don't mean to worry you, but...
Well, that's all right, Betty. Matter of fact, that's the reason I called. I had a hunch maybe they wouldn't.
Is something wrong, Alec? What can I do?
Nothing, Betty. I'll have to handle it from this end.
You don't sound like yourself. Are you sick?
I don't know.
Well, is Moira all right?
I have to hang up now, Betty. You'll be seeing us very soon. Tomorrow, if I can arrange it.
Alec, you're scaring me. What is it?
I was scaring myself because once again I was blacking out. That's the way the doctor found me when he returned, and I don't know what garbled story I blurted out. It was only after I found myself gulping some scalding black coffee that I gathered my wits enough to return to normal.
Very well. That is better. The eyes begin to focus now. You know me?
Yes, but...
I am Dr. Franz König. You are in my consulting room.
Have I told you why I am here?
Oh, you have told me a great deal. You came to me under the influence of drugs, Mr. Grant. Some form of hallucinogen plus deep sedation. And you have told me a most exceptional story.
My wife, Moira. You've got to come and see her, Doctor. I'm afraid...
Yeah, I too am afraid for her. That is why, if you feel well enough now, I suggest we get into my automobile and drive quickly before the storm breaks to bring your wife away from that evil house.
What do you mean?
I'll try to explain that to you as we drive.
You mean that... Frau Zauber has been systematically drugging us?
If what you tell me about your wife is true, who else?
But why?
First of all, because she is not Frau Zauber.
Well, who is she then?
I cannot give you the whole answer to that. I can tell you that her real name is Gretel Gottschalk.
But her husband?
Hans has been dead for the last 20 years. I wrote his death certificate myself.
But the Gottschalks were young people, my age, younger.
Two generations ago, yeah. How old do you think Gretel is now?
Gretel? Oh, you mean the woman I know as Frau Zauber?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nearly 80, I would think.
You would be wrong. By the records of my grandfather, who was also a doctor... She was born in 1871.
109? But why would she pretend to be younger? Why all this masquerade about dragging us over here and pretending to exchange homes?
Because she does not want to die. Gretel, or the woman you call Frau Zauber, has been shunned for the last 20 years. People are afraid of her. They believe, at the very least... that she is a witch.
At the very least. What else? A vampire?
There is a legend here that witches possess human bodies. And having lived out the term of the human they invade, must find a new one to violate.
And she wants to invade my wife's body and steal it for her own.
I say the real danger is that she believes she can.
Then for pity's sake, let's get there.
I'm driving as fast as I can in this weather.
What is it?
The motor. I can't believe it.
We're not out of gas. We can't be. If we get stuck in this blizzard, we'll be buried in an hour.
I don't see how it is possible. But we are out of petrol.
Well, now what do we do?
No one will be traveling this road on a night like tonight. We must walk.
What, back to Wintersberg?
It's too far. If we are to save your wife, we go on to the Gottschalk house.
The wind is built up, driving the snow before it into our faces, blinding us. It was an endless journey to the chalet, and by the time we reached it, we were exhausted. Inside the house, there was light, but there was nothing else. No Frau Zauber, or whoever she was, but more important, no Moira. Moira! Moira!
Yeah, you wouldn't find her by calling for her. We must do the finding.
How?
We can start by looking for the witch. Where's her home? Have you the flashlight, Herr Grant?
It's almost burnt out. Wait a minute. There's a light. Here.
Yeah.
as you described it. It's the night before you saw this door led to the tunnel and the cave of bats?
Yes.
This armoire, right opposite the door. Let's see. Just the clothes closet. The back is solid. But wait. There is a mark on the floor. See?
From the casters on the legs. It must be hinged to swing open.
Yeah. There's a hinge on this side.
That means there must be some sort of a catch or a lock on my side.
Yes, I have it. It's opening.
And right behind it is the passage I went down that leads to... Wait. Listen.
So there are bats.
Yes. And that proves she's a witch.
And also you may be right. A vampire.
She's got Moira. Come on. I tore recklessly down the twisting, torturous passageway. The doctor followed more slowly. As I ran, I could hear words chanted in Frau Zauber's cracked old voice. Words that chilled my blood.
Oh, thou art my own king and emperor of the northern parts. I call, invoke, and exorcise thee to lend me all your awesome power to enter this young nation that I may live my new life cycle as a witch of the inner circle.
I had reached the entrance to the cavern. On a slab of stone, like a rough altar, Moira lay, unmoving. Behind her, a step higher, that ghost gray bat was poised, the words I had heard issuing from its mouth. And behind it, obscenely, a crucifix turned upside down.
I feel your presence. I feel your power.
What is it, Herr Kant?
A filthy pagan rite,
huh?
All the forces of evil and the legions of hell.
But the moment.
What do we do?
We call on him and ask him to lend us his strength.
In your name, I will be reborn. As I drink her blood, I will be done.
No! Stop!
You are to let her blood. He is mine! Mine for all day!
As she bared her fangs and bent to sink them in Moira's throat, I went berserk. Seizing the torch from the shaken doctor's hand, I shone it directly in her face. As she recoiled from the light, I lunged and drove the heavy oaken alpenstock with its steel-tipped end through the loathsome furry body, driving it back to pin it to that obscene inverted crucifix. I took Moira up in my arms, rushing through the mist, gasping for breath, dodging flames which were beginning to sprout from the earth. I reached the safety of the passageway none too soon, for suddenly, behind us in the cave, the floor exploded with a roar of flame and hissing steam. Doctor, is Moira all right?
Yeah, she is fine. Oh, she was very heavily drugged, more so than you. But she is young and will shake them off.
What happened last night, Doctor?
Herr Grant, this whole countryside around here sits on a subterranean lake of boiling sulfur springs. It happens now and then. There was an explosion. Too much pressure. It blew off like a volcano.
Did you see everything I saw?
Oh, the light was poor. And my eyes are not what they were. The mist of steam created strange illusions. That cavern is gone forever. Buried under tons of earth and stone. You need fear nothing anymore. You are free of her forever.
There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, as Hamlet remarked to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Are there such things as witches and vampires? I can only answer with another quote. We are what we believe.
And I believe we are Eerie House Radio.
It was a good story, was it not?
Oh, yeah. Good is an understatement. That one had me chilled pretty well.
Yeah, you can turn your nightlights on now. You know, the story's over. You can turn your nightlights on now. Yeah, for some reason, the very end was clipped off of this. But since I already talked about the actors and the writer, we got that in anyway. So
that's right.
And there were a couple other versions out there, but this one was a pretty clean version. So I went with this one. It was just a wonderful story, and very, very happy to share that here tonight. As we're going batty one more night here on Eerie House Radio.
I was scared. I peed a little bit. Poor Dave has to deal with me. As Eerie House Radio presents a garless moral of the story.
Yeah, don't forget the Lysol Gale. With apologies to Gar. On your next vacation, why not use Airbnb? Sure, it may be a little more expensive, but at least you won't get stuck with an old witch and a bat. There you go.
I'm sorry, that always produces a chuckle for me.
Hey, it does. And, of course, we want to thank Foggs and Annie and whoever else. We know those two are listening, anyone else who may be listening in. And Dale kicked in an Eerie House Radio Facebook chat, and you can join us there as well for the rest of this show. And hopefully next week, Vlog Talk will figure out what the stink they're doing wrong. That all of a sudden their chat isn't going, because it really is a really big part of what we do here is being able to interact with some of the other ones here. So
that's right. And we got a moral emoticon from Fogsbane. Thank you.
So yep. Foggs is always great at chiming in when the moral story comes on, and always. So we're having fun there, and we got some bad. You got some bad movies there, don't you, Dale?
I do. I found a list of 10 great bad films. Now, some of these I've never even heard of before, so here we go. One of them is the great George Méliès, the grandfather, really, of special effects, an illusionist from France. And it's considered perhaps might be the very first horror film, called Le Manoir du Diable from 1896. Okay, and he's got some bats in there.
Say that five times, Joel.
Actually.
Yeah. Say that five times real fast.
But that being perhaps the first motion picture image where a bat was used in special effects, their reign of terror in the dark was just beginning. The Lost Weekend, 1945. No surprise that Ray Milland, a New York-based writer struggling to stay on the wagon, didn't do so good. First hallucinates a mouse appearing out of a crack in his wall, and then a huge bat hovering in to kill it. All right.
Ray Milland won an Oscar for that role, Dale.
Yep, and Lon Chaney lived it. That's terrible. Same year, 1945, again from France. What is it? France, they don't know. Le Vampire, 1945. Straddling science and surrealism, French documentarist Jean Pinlevé, I'm doing my best with the accent here, gang, is famed for his film portraits of seahorses, urchins, jellyfish, octopi, and other creatures of the deep. For Le Vampire, however, he turned his fascinated eye to the predatory rituals of the South American vampire bat, which survives on the blood of other animals. It includes footage from Nosferatu, 1922, to illustrate the fearsome place that the vampire holds on European culture. Before a disturbing scene in which a bat is seen delivering its lethal kiss to a guinea pig. Another French film, Les Amants, from 1958. We'll just skip by that. Kiss of the Vampire from 1962. Originally intended as the third in Hammer's Dracula series, The Kiss of the Vampire ended up not featuring the famous count, but instead the sinister Dr. Ravna, the patriarch of a family of vampires, living a decadent life in a remote mansion in early 20th century Bavaria. Okay, so there's bats in there, and I remember the bat scene from Abominable Dr. Fives in 1971. And then Suspiria in 1977, another classic, about a young American ballet dancer. She's viciously attacked by a huge bat that's flown in through her bathroom window. Didn't the Beatles write a song about that? Came in through the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't know if they were talking about a bat, but yeah. Something came in through that bathroom window. I thought it was she, but you never know.
This webpage also references The Great Mouse Detective, in which there was a cute bat in there, right? And Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. No surprise he saw bats. He was on all kinds of chemicals. And, of course, Batman Begins.
Yes.
There's a scene of bats. The one scene, Dave, for me, though, that they don't mention here is the second in the Indiana Jones movies, when he ends up with Willie and Short Round. They're riding elephants, and they're approaching Pencourt Palace. And there's a whole flock of bats that were flying overhead. Bats, because they were pretty huge.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
Or flying or something.
I know that the Blog Talk chat is not working, Dale, but we do have time for a wheel tonight yet. If you want to get up on your phone and dial 646-378-0264, you can spin that wheel or radio again. 646-378-0264 as we continue on here. Did you get to, so that was the, those are the ones they had listed there?
Yeah, that was pretty much their list. Yay.
I've got a list of five fantastic flicks featuring bloodthirsty bats, of all things.
Ooh.
And so as we go down here, number five is Nightwing. A terribly underrated, echo-minded, the post-Jaws informed thriller about a strain of plague-carrying bats who terrorize an Arizona Indian reservation. Arthur Hill's adaptation of Martin Cruz Smith's eloquent novel Nightwing was a flop when it came out, and it's hard to find, but it was really good, with a strong central performance by Nick Menusco, Bill from Black Christmas, beautiful photography and a great sense of dread and infusion of mysticism. Number four, Bats from 1999. Another critically maligned killer bat epic. Unlike Nightwing, Bats did a brisk box office before being pulled out to home video pasture. The film, as of its writing, has not made it to Blu-ray. It's ripe for rediscovery. Blending mad science, a lunatic doctor engineered a species of hyper-intelligent carnivorous to get the bats to wipe out mankind. The nature run-amok action bats, which feels like a perverse remake of Nightwing, may have damaged star Lou Diamond Phillips' career, but it's great fun, an endless onslaught of frantic and bloody bat attacks. Number three, House by the Cemetery from 1981. The weird Italian hybrid of the Sentinel and Amityville Horror and his own, The Beyond, also takes a few cues from Dario Argento's landmark surrealist horror masterpiece, Suspiria, chiefly in its wild bat attack. And while Suspiria's bat eccentric scene is a stunner, takes it way further, offering what probably is the single most insane, crazy bat sequence ever filmed. Number two, Kiss of the Vampire. I think you covered this one, right? Kiss of the Vampire, number two, is director Don Sharp's 1962 Hammer horror masterpiece, and shown on television in an edited and expanded with clumsy reshoots version called Kiss of Evil, has a curious history, originally poised to be the second non-Christopher Lee starring sequel to 1958's Horror of Dracula and follow-up to 1960's incredible Brides of Dracula, further essaying the various vampire cults worshiping the dead count. Kiss utilized the ending intended for Brides. In it, the sadistic, bloodthirsty vampire Dr. Ravna, Noah Willman, and his family and secret social society of aristocrat undead are wiped out by a maniacal horde of bats sent out by the hero. It's an astonishing climax with legions of leathery winged Avengers whipping through the castle. And the number one of the, what is this? This is the bloodthirsty bats. The number one movie is Chosen Survivors from 1974. Director Sutton Rowley's obscure skin crawler is a chilly, nihilistic future shocker that plays like an extended episode of The Twilight Zone, loaded for bear with hordes of starving vampire bats. Echoing the classic TV episode, Five Characters in Search of an Exit, and the lesser extent to much of later Vincenzo Natalie's thriller Cube, and even Romero's Day of the Dead, Chosen Survivors revolves around a government-selected group of otherwise unrelated American men and women for various professions and creeds who are drugged, whisked away, and wake up 13,000 feet below the Earth's surface in a machine-run, state-of-the-art, hermetically sealed bunker. These lucky folks have been randomly chosen by the powers that be to survive already in progress a full-blown nuclear holocaust with the hopes that after the radiation levels ebb, they'll reemerge and effectively reboot the human race. The bats keep coming and coming in this bizarre, obscure offering, and also stars such notable characters as Jackie Cooper, Little Rascals and Superman, Lincoln Kilpatrick, the Omega Man, and the B-movie legend Bradford Dillman, Bug, Escape from Planet of the Apes, and the score by Fred Carlin, who also provides cues for one of the best-made-for-TV genre films, Bad Ronald, is a primal, nihilistic, Moog-synthesized drone in analog-phasing freak-out that is absolutely first-rate. So there you go.
All right, and with still just enough time for Wheel Out, let's add the Dale K. list of favorite Bat movies. Okay. One of my all-time favorites is, and I forget the name of it, which one it is, but they did the Lugosi morphing into a bat using almost cartoonish animation, Universal did in that period. They did it again with John Carradine. I know they did that in House of Frankenstein, where he did the morphing scene. Again, very cartoonish. The Devil Bat featuring Bela Lugosi using a giant bat in that movie, and then of course The Bat featuring Vincent Price in a remake of a silent film from 1926 featuring a villain named The Bat.
Right,
those are among my favorites.
My favorite bat was the one that Grandpa Munster turned himself into on the Munsters.
Oh, gosh, yes. Forgot about that. Good one, Dave.
And of course, he had Igor there with him, too, which was, Igor was a bat, but Grandpa could turn himself into a bat.
Yes, he could. Well, Dave, we got just enough time, probably for some wheel. No callers, no takers. All right, fine.
Okay, well, you're closer. Go ahead and spin that. Yep.
All right. I did the nickel. I'll do the spinning, too. That's cool.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Well, no kidding, fella. We really got a swell show for you tonight. I think we better get started and answer those letters to Command Performance for you guys in Egypt and Iceland, and for our guy, Pittsburgh Baker, who's now handling the dough at the post exchange in Ireland. Here's a gal that hundreds of you have asked back on your big show, Miss Betty Hutton. Come on out here, Betty.
And to tell all you guys who've asked me back, I'd like to say this. Of course, I'm not very good at arithmetic, but I've added up your swell letters, and here's my answer. With Alfred Newman and the 20th Century Fox Orchestra, a little thing we call the Fuddy Duddy Watchmaker Man. I broke my watch the other night. I broke my watch cause I wound it too tight. I broke my watch round 9:15. So I took it round the corner to a friend of mine. Well, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. The Fuddy Duddy watchmaker at the jewelry store. Ooh, I don't know how he shook it, but he shook it. I don't know how he shook it, but he shook it. Don't know how he shook it, but he shook it. He's got it on the beam steadier than ever before. I look at the old man go. Well, he's 103 and that's no lie. I look at the old man go. When he raises that glass up to his eye. Well, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Don't know how, but he does it. The Fuddy Duddy watchmaker at the jewelry store. He fixed my watch, he fixed it quick. And mighty soon he was making it tick. He made it tick with a beautiful beat.
The whammy bop, tick-tock.
He's 103 and maybe more. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. The Fuddy Duddy watchmaker in the jewelry store.
Thanks a lot, Betty Hutton.
Right, your weekend's not Betty complete Hutt. Without some Betty Hutt.
That's right. Bob Hope once described her as a vitamin pill on legs. That girl had all kinds of energy. Hey, what do we got coming up next week, Dale?
Nothing. We're not doing a damn thing.
Oh, okay.
We're closing.
Okay.
No. No, it's Musical Murders next week. We've got The Saint with Vincent Price, of course. It's a music murder. And then The Inner Sanctum, Song of the Slasher. That's on Friday. We'll be back on Saturday with an episode of The Shadow Murder in E-flat. So, yeah, we're making music about horror and murder and mystery and fun here on Eerie House Radio.
Real quickly, Gar is on his iVlog. As far as I know, his iVlog show tonight, starting at 8 p.m. right after this broadcast. We enjoy you to go to our brothers and invite you to go to our brothers and enjoy his 4-hour live performance, and that 4 hours is estimated. And Monday night on the Vortex, Weirdness Really Bad Movie, we'll be there with our latest movie with the Angel on My Shoulder, 9 o'clock, horrorhost.net.
Ooh, Kat's going to be in that one.
Yep, it's co-hosted by Kat Walder and Kathleen Walder. Yes.
Yes. Monday night on the Vortex. Don't miss it.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Didn't go out. Thought I was going to hyperventilate there for a minute.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. That's a good way to do it.
Yep. Lots of good fun.
It's been a fun, interesting show. We had all kinds of things going on there, but a wonderful little story there. I need to sneak a few more of their mystery theater comedies in there. So let's just. We got one there with the Peter Pumpkin Eater. That was a real fun one. And a wonderful story and a wonderful portrayal by Fred Gwynn. Good old Herman Munster there.
Oh, God. Fox just put something in our little chat there. Did you see that tiny radio?
The tiny radio, the size of a penny almost, just barely a little bit bigger than that. That's amazing.
And he goes, can I fit electronics inside of it?
yeah, folks, if you haven't seen
it, Foggy.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go to either the Facebook page or Vlogsbane's Facebook page or the Erie House one, either one. And there's a wonderful little video we put together of a really neat radio that Foggs made. They made one for Gar, one for Dale, and one for myself, each putting our own shows on the label there, but they all had the same wonderful, all these great radio openings that we use here, as well as the opening to Erie House and Erie House closing as well. So what a great work that Fogsbane did on that, and it was absolutely fantastic. It's a neat little video, so you get a chance to check that out.
Such a thing he made for us, and I'm still floored by it. I'm absolutely floored by it.
Yeah. So it's things like that that really make doing what we do here, I think, special. And the people reach out to us like Foggs does, and things like that. And Foggs is great because he came in over to the when we had our Facebook Live event. Foggs was there when he sometimes would show up over at Erie House when the Weirdest Really Bad is there. He shows up on Saturday nights at Gar's horror starring Gar the Ghoul, and he's just a big fan of all the stuff that we do. And he was there on when we had the Erie House television. He was there as well. So it's really that kind of thing, and to get the reaction that we get from that, it's really what we do is a lot of fun, but that really is so rewarding when we get to hear and see things like that, I think.
Yep. It's just part of the fun of doing what we're doing here.
So we've got interesting things come up. I'm going to do a teaser here, Dale. This summer we are filming, got our fingers crossed, 8 episodes of Spaceship One. I am told it's going to turn a lot of heads. People are going to be amazed that something like this came out of two guys in Akron, Ohio. We've got our Weirdness Really Bad cast along. Kathleen Walder has helped write in 3 of the episodes. I've had my fingers in every episode with the writing as well. Mike Mace is kind of really the lead character throughout. He and I are, but he's more of the fearless leader. He's just a very it is such an exciting project that I can't wait to get to a point where we get to really start sharing this. I'm about to see the first one very soon, the first full episode. And this should be about 15 minutes long. When you think of that, Dale, that's only like about 7 minutes shy of being a full sitcom.
Yeah.
Half hour
program. Commercials nowadays. Yeah.
But, yeah, about 23 minutes.
That's amazing because, folks, to do the kind of thing that they're doing, and I can't wait for this to come out, and I think you'll love it too. Just knowing what little I know about it so far, but it's if Dave's excited, it's got to be good.
Oh, you know, I'm just waiting that if nothing like this goes beyond this or anything like that, this will be one of the sharpest, most professional things that I've ever been in, and to know that I've had my fingers in on so far every script. It's such a cool thing, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this and getting some reaction to it. So
yep.
We're hoping to have it ready to debut at Goulardi Fest is where we're really planning to break this out. And we'll do some other things as well. Yep, you'll be there for that. And we'll be promoting it. Not only Weird and It's Really Bad, but also the Spaceship One. I mean, this guy who's doing all the CGI for us is also an artist. He's making us into a Star Wars-type poster as well. I tell you, Dale, I've just never been associated with anything quite like this, and it is like I said, if this is what I had to hang my career on, it'd be a cool thing to go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, everybody's
so,
waiting, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yep, got another day to wait on this because, and it's not very easy. I keep checking my emails, even though he says the first episode probably will be out already. And he insists probably will be ready for Sunday. We're doing in some more filming on Monday, so he would like to have it out there so people who are in it could see what is happening and continue to keep them excited about what we're doing. So,
yes, and exciting this will be, and that's coming soon, folks. It's coming soon. October is not that far away.
It isn't. And when that goes on, I'll probably do a Weirdness Really Bad.
We're already in the Weary House.
There you go. And I've got a movie that was actually an unsold TV pilot about space that I think I might be able to fit two episodes into that. So that may, I'll probably put that out in October as well. So all kinds of neat things happening here. And it's exciting. It's exciting.
Cool. So I had fun with the bats today.
I did. And actually the bats, the neat little stories we had yesterday as well. It just, I tell you what, we've been through most of the bat stories. I'll find some here and there, perhaps for another time. But boy, there was not a lot of radio about bats. So we shall see. But we ended up with a good weekend here, and lots more fun things going on coming up as well. So.
Yeah, including musical murders next weekend.
Musical murders next weekend, absolutely. I've been looking for a way to share that Inner Sanctum Song of the Slasher, and it's got one of my favorite radio actors in it, Dale, and he did a lot of mystery theaters as well, and actually wrote some, the great Arnold Moss, that great baritone that he has. So look forward to that one, because when you get Hyman Brown, a great story and great acting in there, it's just tremendous. I'm looking forward to sharing these wonderful stories that we have.
Yeah, you
worked that one in good, too. And, of course, we got Inner Sanctum with Raymond. So can't go wrong.
And you got Vincent Price in with the Saint.
Yeah.
So, hey, looking at some great things. Yep. And of course, The Shadow on Saturday. So, and as we say, a few surprises along the way as well.
Always surprises here. Mostly have Dave to thank for this stuff, gang. I'm going to embarrass you. Dave programs the vast majority of what we hear. And makes it
is a, it's a, it's a joy, and to help you to have you try and keep everything running and on time, that's your job, man.
Do a fair job. I'm gonna hyperventilate with the candle though lately.
That's right.
The clock is actually off where I'm behind time now. I'm like in the future, man. I'm serious.
Yep.
The clock is so weird. It's so glitchy here.
Okay. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah.
The Blog Talk clock is glitchy.
Well, that's going along with the wonderful little chat stuff they got not going on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully they'll have it fixed. Getting old, gang. Don't make us look for another venue, damn it. Just listening to Blog Talk. We're paying you, damn it.
That's right. We need to get your money's worth.
I feel better having said that.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd actually
know
how that fixed next week. Yeah, I figure they'll have that fixed next week so they can mess something else up instead.
Yeah, that's right. But we should say goodbye to everyone. Thank you so much for listening in spite of problems with the chat. That was fun on the little Facebook deal we made for tonight's show.
It was a brilliant move, my friend, brilliant move. And from there, there's nothing more to say but good night, Jimmy.
Good night, good night, good night. It's time to say good night, good night, good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same. And in cuts they can do. Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.